Tom, for the past few years, you've lived the case of IMS Health against Sorrell, and we had a Supreme Court decision a couple of months ago, and you've been studying that decision ever since, and you believe that the discussion of speech in that case has implications for other areas of communication, including the question of whether a do not track system would be constitutional. And would you just share your views on that?
Sure. You know, almost from the time the series of cases that led to the Sorrell decision were filed 5 years ago, it struck me that there were many very close parallels between the facts of that case and the problems that so many people have voiced concerns about over internet spying or tracking or behavioral marketing, all of that. The parallels are really quite striking. You saw in the Sorrell case, the basic facts were that information was being gathered from pharmacies about what doctors were prescribing, and the state felt that that was something that shouldn't happen because they were concerned about the impact on not only the doctor's privacy, but also on whether that was the information that was being gathered and used in marketing was driving up the prices of drugs unnecessarily. When you look at what's now driving, I think, Congress in terms of looking at Do Not Track Acts, you see the same sorts of concerns. They're voiced in terms of concern about privacy, not of doctors, obviously, but of consumers. And you see concerns about the impact that that's having on the economy, driving people to make decisions about buying products and services. And so I think there's just a lot of parallels between the two cases, and some of the principles that were established in Sorrell, I think, are very much going to come into play when Congress gets down to the serious business of debating whether we need a Do Not Track Act and whether such an act is constitutional.
In the case of gathering information at a pharmacy and then passing it on to be processed without the personally identifiable information of the individual, but with the identifying information of the licensed practitioner, don't you see any difference between that and the collection of information by third parties based on a piece of software that's placed on the individual's property?
I think there's lots of distinctions, but the similarities are also there as well. In both instances, what you're doing is you're trying to collect information. And in both instances, you're doing it in a way that is lawful in the sense that there's not historically been laws that prevent companies from going to pharmacies and asking the pharmacies what drugs did the doctors prescribe. And there haven't been laws historically that said when someone turns on their computer and connects to the internet, that those people on the other end that are connected to your computer can't observe what you're doing. I like to think of the computer as a window, and if you open the window, sometimes people are going to look in.
But the difference being, if I choose to go to your server and interact with you, and I observe you, that's very similar to observing you when you come into my store. But if I put a piece of software on your computer that allows others to observe you and observe where you've been, not with them but with others, is that not different in kind?
You know, I'm not sure it's a difference in kind. It's certainly a difference in technique in conducting the observation. And, you know, my view is not that you can't have laws against trespass or breaking and entering or copyright infringement laws, but the First Amendment does protect what is lawful gathering of information. And if the way that your computer operates is that it allows for the placement of software on your computer that allows others to see what you're doing, and you don't take steps to stop that, then you've opened the window. And I think, you know, obviously some people don't understand that, just as in the Sorrell case, a lot of doctors didn't understand that their information was being collected by companies that wanted to use it for marketing. But as we all become much more familiar with the technology and how it's used, we're all beginning to understand that these little laptops and iPads on our desks and in our palms are not just these private little devices. They are connecting us to the rest of the world, and if we want to be connected, we're going to have to live with others observing what we're doing, just as when we go out to a store or to a school or to a business.
So if would you see it differently if I, as a consumer, made an effort to remove those software devices and a system was used by a commercial entity to overcome my decision to remove those devices? In other words, find a way around the consumer's decision. Would that change the picture?
You know, it changes it somewhat, but I think, again, that there's always going to be an innovator that is going to find a way to look through your computer at what you are doing. I think that that's something that we all have to come to accept and live with. And no matter what sort of legislation that you might enact that tries to limit that observation from happening, it's going to be very difficult. So I think that we're almost all better off in a world where we all know and understand that there are risks associated with interconnectivity and interaction with others, and that we need to take that into consideration when we engage in that sort of interaction through our computers.
So there are multiple values that one can find in the Bill of Rights, and obviously there's the values related to expression, which include this freedom to observe, and it's a very broad freedom to observe. But there's also value in the concept of an individual having seclusion, having a space where you're free to not be observed. And we see that in the fact that if my window's open, maybe you can look in. My window's closed, you can't make an effort to get around that. Do we have an equilibrium issue related to the balance between values here?
You know, Marty, the way that I see it, the real issue is, do consumers need government help in achieving the equilibrium that they want? And the regulators that are now proposing all these different pieces of federal legislation, they're playing to that consumer demand, if you will, mm-hmm. that I want more privacy. And the consumers are saying the companies aren't giving it to me. So I want a government regulator to step in and give me some sort of a legal claim to require the companies to deliver that to me. And the problem that I have with that is it takes the decisions about what sort of privacy controls are going to be offered in the market away from the companies that are designing these tools of interconnectivity, and it's putting it into the hands of government regulators. I just fundamentally think that we're better off allowing for privacy controls to develop through the private sector rather than having a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington trying to design the way things should work on the Internet. And you're seeing now that many companies are developing all sorts of privacy controls because they're hearing from consumers, the users, that we don't want to use your site unless you give me more control. And so that's what the market is delivering, and I just hate to see the government trying to step into the mix, because then you do have lots of First Amendment problems arise when the government tries to control information and information flow.
One final question, Tom. With the Center, we deal with international issues, and we deal with the whole question of how data flows in the global marketplace. And back in 1978, when the OECD guidelines were being developed, Justice Michael Kirby, who was the person who chaired that group that did those guidelines, found the most difficult issue to deal with is the weight that expression has in the United States, including this concept of fairly free rights to observe, versus its somewhat weaker nature in other industrialized countries. As the Internet has developed, as our ability to create sensor-based technologies have evolved, this gap or this difference between the United States and other industrialized countries has just broadened. Do you see that as sort of a permanent gap or one that's narrow, that can be made more narrow?
I don't think it's a permanent gap. I think that those two systems will come together. But I'm not sure which one is going to prevail at this point. I like to think that the U.S. system will prevail because I think it does help economies much more than does the privacy-based or privacy-weighted system that Europe has. And I think it's fascinating that there are these two different systems that are developing side by side as the Internet grows and develops. And that's going to allow, I think, for much better study and testing of what the actual impact of a different system is. And I think ultimately, I mean, just my own intuition is that you'll see the Europeans coming to a U.S.-style system sooner or later.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You're welcome.